time for This Day in History with Kevin Allen and Bill Shiwe on KJC Country 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Oh, we've already got the sunshine out there, 43 degrees and calm winds, but we can always use even a brighter ray of sunshine, and that comes from my buddy Bill Shiwe. Good morning, Bill.
Good Monday morning to you, Kevin.
How are you, my friend?
Well, I am doing much better after seeing the weather better for today and watching the early weather yesterday before church. We caught the local channel out of Flint, and they were showing the weather map, and what they put on there, they had Ironwood, which our son and daughter-in-law moved to, and they were showing the temperature for yesterday morning at 7 o'clock. It was 30 degrees.
Oh, man. I thought the 41 I got up to this morning was bad. Yikes.
Yeah, but you know what? It is a good morning to go, and for those of you people out driving, remember, yellow is the color today.
Yes.
Yellow for buses.
Boy, no doubt about that on this first big day back to school. Yeah.
Yep, and Bill Shiwe is not going to put on any kind of a school clothes. He's going to hang around the house.
There you go.
Those days are over.
Yeah.
Want to start today with this day, and I'm not going to give the regular name. I'm going to give the name that first appeared and then let people try and figure it out. It is Portable Pie Day.
Portable Pie Day today. What do we know portable pie better as today, buddy?
Well, it's not like a card table. Okay, it's not a card table. Ancient times, Romans history, it was a pastry that was served with meat that was turned over. The crust was turned over.
Oh.
1440, there was an edict, believe it or not, in France, banning any kind of bakeries from opening early. I think we had this one.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't do cakes or anything like that. It took too long. So they started making pies and turnovers.
Oh, portable pie, a turnover. Wow.
Yep, it is cherry turnover today. We also have featured things like apple and blueberry and peach. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the Upper Peninsula area, Marquette area, there are stores there that serve turnovers, but they're called pasties.
Pasties, of course. Meat turnovers.
Yep, they are. Beef and veggies come from the coal miners, the Finnish and Italian Cornish group. And there's always that controversy. If you're a tourist, you're going to go and order and want gravy. And if you're not a tourist, you put ketchup on it.
Oh, see, I do neither. I like them just the way they are.
Well, I've heard that song before, too. Yep, so cherry turnover day today, and you probably can get it in the frozen food section. Don't even have to worry about putting it in the oven.
That's
just
right.
Have to, whatever.
Yeah.
1893, first commercial. Ah, this is Bill. You've got a good lead in here. 1893, first commercial tart cherry production.
Wow, look at that.
And where would that be? That would be Ridgewood Farm, Traverse City, Michigan.
There you go. Boy, you did tie those two together very nicely.
Yeah, and I almost had bow tie day, so that really would have been tied in. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, I had to put this in. It's a real short one, but it did tie in.
Okay.
Traverse City had the first commercial tart, like I said.
Yeah.
And it was created by a man by the name of Peter Doherty, and he was actually a minister, a traveling minister who had moved out there from the east and tried to convince local farmers that they could plant these cherry trees and be prosperous. And none of them figured he could because they already had apples and blueberries, and they're thinking, you know, what does this guy know? Well, today it works into 75% of tart cherries are grown in Michigan.
Oh, nice.
1837, we back up a little bit.
Okay.
For two men, I'm not going to give you the last names because it might give it away. They were chemists, 1837. John Lee, William Henry, were asked by Lord Sandy, and he was a traveling dignitary, and they were asked to create a sauce that they had while visiting India. So John and William came up with it, thought they could do it. There was a fish-vegetable mixture. They mixed it, put it in the basement and cellar, but decided maybe we shouldn't do anything with it because the odor was so strong. So they left it down there for 2 years. and went back to check it. It was rediscovered down there. I don't know if they forgot about it. They tried it. It was a success, and so this product became named after them, mm-hmm. and it became Worcester sauce.
Yes, Lee and Perrin, right?
Exactly. Lee and Perrin, they sound like a singing group.
They do, yeah. They'd be perfect.
Maybe that's what they were doing down
yeah,
the cellar.
That's right. Great acoustics in the cellar.
Exactly. 1907, two teenage entrepreneurs, good job, Bill.
Yeah.
Claude Ryan, who's 18, mm-hmm. Jim Casey's 19, they sit down today. I don't know if they sat down exactly today, but they were discussing how we can make some money in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
So they're in the basement. They've probably got comic books down there.
Yeah.
I don't know which.
Sure.
But anyway, they're sitting down there, Kevin, and they think, you know what? What this town needs is a good messenger service. So they get their bike, borrow $100 and start delivering things, and they call themselves the American Message Service. That's 1907. Well, they're doing a very good job in Seattle. In 1919, they're bought out, and it becomes UPS.
UPS, the United Parcel Service.
Yeah, so you know what? You young people, if you're driving to school, and maybe it's your first time or whatever, but think about it. You know, there's always something out there you can come up with, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And why Brown? That was the why Brown trucks.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I always thought it had to do with cleaning. Maybe it was that it would be clean all the time. Oh. Well, it says here that they picked this because it represents class, sophistication, and Ooh. Professionalism.
Wow. I would never have guessed that. I would have thought something, yeah, with the... Just the brown color is nondescript, like most UPS packages are.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you that there's more to it, and Kevin's right. It wasn't just those important big words. It was that the Pullman Railroad cars were very successful, and they were brown.
Brown, oh, there you go, okay.
That makes sense, right?
Much more sense, yes.
Yeah. 1932. You've heard of makeup games in various sports.
Sure.
Or high school football. For many years, we've put it on Thursdays before Labor Day because of traffic.
Yeah.
Well, today, 1932, there was not a makeup game. There was a pregame played at the Boston Red Sox. Get ready, Mark Blomquist. Your Boston Red Sox are going to make history today. Because this is a Sunday, and it's... They already predict that they're not going to be able to play on Wednesday. First of all, they don't have lights.
Oh, well.
And so they can't play. So why are they already predicting?
Oh, yeah.
Total solar eclipse.
Well, that's a first and probably a last, yeah.
Yeah. They predicted, or somebody, the scientists told them, you know, it's going to be totally dark at this part of the United States, and I don't know what you're going to do and everything else, and... So they switched the game to Sunday previous, and the final today in 11 innings, Mark, your Sox won 4-3. So maybe that's an excuse that worked.
Well, you know, when you think about even a total eclipse, it's only like 10 minutes. They couldn't pause the game for 10 minutes? Yikes.
I think someone wasn't going to be. I think someone had an important date that day.
I think you're right, yeah.
I think a couple of the ushers were going to some party.
That's right.
Yeah. 1968, I bring this in. It's not something I usually do, Kevin, because it's not always the most positive thing, but this is a personal note for me.
Oh.
1968, a bunch of us high school buddies, we were getting together. We were all heading to college the next week, and we all decided to go downtown Chicago and kind of, well, it wasn't whooping it up or nothing like that, because it's not drinking or nothing. Just decided to go downtown and... it was only a 10-mile trip, and there was a bunch. I think there were six of us loaded in the car, and we all picked up the last guy. And before we started, the last guy says, John, I think it was John, says, "Hey, you guys, did you hear what was going on downtown? My dad said maybe we should go somewhere else." And we're saying, "What are you talking about?" Of course, you know, kids, we don't have phones, so that's the first thing you have to understand. And so I said, somebody said, "What's going on?" I said, "Oh, there's some kind of riot going downtown."
Yeah.
Well, this turned out to be the Democratic Convention riot that was during that. You had the protesters there, Rubin and Hoffman.
The Chicago Seven, yeah.
Exactly. So we decided that maybe that was not the best thing to do, so we caroused somewhere else. I think it was Oak Park.
That's a good place to carouse, Oak Park.
Yeah. 1968, Tammy Wynette and producer Billy Sherrill write this song in 15 minutes.
Whoa, 68, wow. Stand By Your Man?
Yes. I'm like, I can't get by him anything. I can't. I even tried wearing yellow to blend it with the buses today. It didn't work. They wrote in 15 minutes. She didn't tell George, her future husband, about the song that she wrote it. So she played it, and he didn't like it at all. And so she said, I'm going to go ahead with it anyway, and there you go. Stand By Your Man.
I'll bet George Jones, to his dying day, refuted that story and said, I never said that.
No, and Five Easy Pieces later on in 70 actually had it on their soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Wow.
Last one is a novelty song. I'll make this quick.
Yeah.
1973. Novelty song, and it's released as a single today. A song came from this man's imitation on stage when he was playing. And this man, you probably would guess it, so I'm not going to give you his name. Anyway, he liked to do stage impressions of Boris Karloff.
Oh, okay.
Bobby Pickett.
Bobby Boris Pickett. Oh, must have been the Monster Mash.
It was the Monster Mash, and it was actually turned into a mash potato song, which he had, and alley-oop, he had that one too.
Yeah.
And I had the word nickname Boris, which you already got. And I'll end with this, that the Beatles on Yellow Submarine actually put it out too.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. Go figure. Yeah, Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash, I hear, so...
It was a graveyard smash. That is my list for today. I did have one I was going to do, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow because I think you still like it.
Okay, I'm going to add just a couple to it. It was in 1922. The first radio commercial airs on WEAF in New York City. It was a 10-minute commercial. So thank your lucky stars we only do 30s and 60s here. It was 10-minute commercial for a realty company.
Yeah, but it gave you a lot of time if it would be on the radio.
That's right. It would. No doubt about that.
You could take a run over somewhere and get yourself something to eat or something like that.
Exactly. And in 1963, historic, the Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. delivered today.
Well, that was a memorial epic.
No doubt about that. That's all I had, Bill. Hey, enjoy your Monday, my friend, and we'll meet up again tomorrow morning.
We will, and everyone enjoy a very safe day.